great.
But here's what he did.
Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it.
And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
So let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it.
Yes.
We are going to rhyme it. Just.
Yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just
ooh, I like everybody.
I'm not going to remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you guys?
Who's house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother and the other great host of this show, Nick. And Nick, the free agency frenzy is continuing. The legal tampering period is over. The Rams can now sign official contracts with the players that they've recently signed. But first and most importantly, how are you, my good brother?
I'm good, man. It's just becoming a really fun and hectic offseason. It's, you know, Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. Everybody seemed to be making big splashes, and yet we're following a concise plan that feels really really specific to what we want to get done. So that's really exciting. But yeah. Before we go any further, I just want to remind everybody, do not forget to like and subscribe. It is everybody's worry that they're going to grow up and have to say that all the time. But it means a lot if you like and subscribe and, you know, click, you do all the clicking. So it helps us a lot. So appreciate you guys.
Yeah, greatly appreciate you guys subscribing. A lot of good stuff coming your guys' way. Continuing talking about free agency, the draft is coming up, and everything in between. You guys know a lot of good stuff coming out, coming your way. So as the last day has unfolded, Darius Williams over the last 24 hours has re-signed with the Rams. So he gets a three-year deal worth $22.5 million. Sources said up to $30 million from Ian Rappaport. Ian Rappaport probably needs another cup of coffee. As he types out that tweet, there's incentives that is tied to Darius Williams's deal. So 3 years worth up to $22.5 million. And I think a lot of the conversation stemmed around the fact that he's 30 years old. He turns 31 in just 2 days, so March 15th. And I think that's where, you know, majority of the concerns come from, because he's a really solid player. He's the second most valuable cornerback in the NFL last season per PFF WAR. And Darius Williams, the way that he was able to kind of integrate himself into the defense from 2018 to 2021 and understanding the defensive language and being a leader and a face in a really young cornerback's room, if Akello Witherspoon isn't re-signed, it's really, really important, an extremely versatile player. And the Rams ask him to do everything. He's played match, he's played zone, he's played man, he's played inside, he's played outside. He's all over the ball. At 4 interceptions, 18 pass breakups for the Jaguars last season. And you can't ever look at size when you look at him. Just watch him. Just watch him on tape. He's a great player. And I don't think that the Rams had any defensive touchdowns last year. So with a pass rush that may not be as good as we initially anticipated, it's good to bolster up the back end. And I remember back to 2018, Nick, when the Rams signed Akello Witherspoon. And I think Akello Witherspoon was like 32 years old, but they traded for him, rather. They traded a fifth-round pick to get him. So imagine that now. Imagine Rams Twitter blowing up, going back to 2018, trading away a fifth-round pick for 32-year-old Aqib Talib. So those kind of things, like, you know, would be much different in today's world versus how it was in 2018, when it felt like we have to be able to get back to this, or get to the Super Bowl, rather. So
much about the Sean McVay and Les Snead era is developing people that they believe are Rams, like whatever, like they see that to be. I think it has a lot to do with stuff that's outside of football, like how much time you put into your work, like where are your commitments in life. And a lot of these players leave, but they take note of them. And they're like, if they become available again, we're going to try to bring them back, because they have already established that they fit the mold of what we're trying to do.
Exactly.
And Darius Williams is exactly that. I mean, I think it was, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was him in the 2020 playoff game that picked off Russell Wilson that brought it to
I mean, he's got a lot of NFC West opponents in his back pocket for picks, pick sixes specifically. Yeah, he just tortured Russell Wilson. And you know what? It really kind of makes sense towards Chris Shula and the identity that the defense wants to move towards, or I guess kind of stay with, right? Because you have a young defensive coordinator, a first-time play caller. You want to have as many good veteran, knowledgeable back-end leaders as you possibly can to be able to help run the defense. And Darius Williams is that kind of player. And then what happened today, Michael Hoyt. That news, I think, kind of came out of nowhere because a lot of Rams fans have been looking all over the place for edge rushers. But the Rams announced that they tendered Michael Hoyt the right of first refusal tender. And it's going to be worth roughly $3 million. And it's a developing situation per Jordan into the week, as initially they didn't expect to do so. They didn't expect to tender Michael Hoyt. But we know what he is, special teams depth, an outside linebacker, defensive lineman, rotation player, can play edge, obviously. And, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world if you have to give Michael Hoyt $3 million. I think from a depth perspective, somebody, who, again, who understands the defense could be a valuable asset. And you saw him throw up the L.A. sign against the 49ers. I mean, it seems like he kind of grew into his own the last 6-7 weeks of the season. So greatly appreciate his contributions. And I'm not upset that he's back. I think the Rams fans that wanted a big time edge, they're like, oh no, Michael Hoyt.
It's not the end of the road with edge help. I'm sure they're going to find people, you know, in the draft. And also, it does, you know, like the special teams last year was terrible. I think it was ranked 32. It was at the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. 3 million. He's going to be continue to be a special teamer. You know, he's going to be on the field. You know, for more than just defensive snaps. So you got to look at it like that. It's not going to be $3 million sounds like a lot when you realize where our cap situation is and we're going to have to, you know, sign all these rookies that are coming in. But still, at the end of the day, it's not going to kill you.
And that's the only reason why it feels like a lot, right? Because of the cap situation. It has nothing to do with the fact that an edge rusher, I mean, Brian Burns, Josh Allen, Danielle Hunter, $25 million plus per year, Nick Bosa, $34 million. Like $3 million, you get any kind of production from Michael Hoyt, I think it's considered a net positive for the Rams and the way that they're building the roster, because the edge position is so interesting. We talked about Brian Burns. He went to the Giants. Danielle Hunter went to the Texans. Josh Allen still with the Jags. And even Khalil Mack, we were talking about, but finalized as of 4 o'clock today, staying with the Chargers. That situation didn't pan out for Rams fans in any regard. But we're a relentless bunch, us Rams fans. And there was a really, really solid tweet that a person that we really like from Rams Nation and Rams Twitter, Blaine Grisak, he tweeted that if the Rams can rotate a player like Michael Hoyt and Byron Young on one side as a power rusher and then get the speed rusher on the other side from a Hassan Reddick or a Jared Verse, or even a Chop Robinson to go alongside of a Nick Hampton or an Oshawn Mathis, that's a very much improved pass rush combination. I saw that tweet and I was like, that's brilliant. So that's exactly what you want to be able to build within your pass rushing core, combinations of speed and power coming from both sides. And, you know, that's what you can kind of look for in a player like Hassan Reddick, because I don't know, Nick, would you be interested in potentially trading a second round pick or a third round pick for a player like Hassan Reddick to pair with?
Well, if the Eagles are looking for a first, I don't think this year or next year you can give that up yet. But like a second, like a second and a fourth, or like a second and a sixth or something like that. Like, I'm game to play ball for somebody like that. Reddick, people that listen to the show know that Dean and I unfortunately watch a lot of Eagles football. So we know how impactful some of these guys can be. He's great. I mean, I would love him in horns.
Yeah. So 2023, 11 sacks, 2022, 16 sacks. He battled injury in 2023 and had some contract issues. He's obviously wants to get paid more because he's a top tier edge rusher. But I think what's really interesting about the Rams is his edge position. You look at a 3-4 defense, you theoretically want a guy who could stand up and rush the passer with speed like Hassan Reddick. Like, that's the kind of mold that you look for in a speed rusher that you could pair opposite of power. Then you start to look in connection with Sean Desai, who was the Eagles' former defensive coordinator, and there's a connection there. If they look for a first or a second rounder for Hassan Reddick or Josh Sweat, they may not get it, but they may be open to, you know, a third round pick, a future fourth or a fifth round pick paired with the third. Like, I think Hassan Reddick would be a really, really great fit within the Rams' defensive scheme. You know, you could look at guys like Yannick Ngakoue and Chase Young. I was going to say Chase Daniels, Derek Barnett, you know, those kind of type players, but they're not as productive as a Hassan Reddick can be as a stand-up 3-4 pass rusher on the same line as an Aaron Donald, as a Kobe Turner, as a Byron Young. So despite the injury battles, I mean, that would be something, you know, for that kind of pass rusher, if all you have to give up is a second-round pick, think about, like, the transgression between, okay, here's the draft coming up. Can we find Hassan Reddick in the second round of this draft and have him be that type of production immediately on day one of the 2024 season? Probably not. So
the thing about the Eagles GM, though, Howie Roseman, is I feel like he doesn't make deals if it doesn't look like fantastic for them. It has to be a win for the Eagles. And I think he wants a bigger asking price than just a second. So it's something that, I'd love to imagine it, but I worry that we would have to give up a little more.
Yeah, I was listening to the Eagles talk radio for a bit today, and they were talking about trading Hassan Reddick to the Cowboys for a first round pick. And the discourse that would come out of having to play him two times a year and the Cowboys taking on the just crazy. But they were like, we would do it, because they were putting up a theoretical situation of, okay, would we trade a first-round pick to a division rival, or would we settle and trade a second-round pick to a team who's not a direct contender? So good, pretty solid conversation, but like second-round pick for Hassan Reddick, like I'm all in on that. So if we can dial that up, Les, let's see what we can do, because that would be enough.
If it comes out that the Cowboys would have given a first, but they gave it to the Rams, who was not a direct rival, there Howie gets all the good graces, and then we look like we get off scot-free, you know?
There's Howie again, Howie Hero, they call him in Philadelphia. And then there's another player that's kind of floating out there that was just released, Nick Scott. Per Adam Schefter, the Bengals plan to release Nick Scott, safety, who was signed with the Bengals in 2023 as a free agent after helping the Rams win the Super Bowl. So what's really interesting about Nick Scott, there's an immediate upgrade, right? In what's likely going to be a very young safety room. A couple of draft picks are still in the building, but outside of that, if John Johnson doesn't come back, who helped recruit Darius Williams, there's more vacancies in the back end of the secondary, but he's known special teams inside and out. His first reception he ever caught in the NFL, which is weird for a defensive back, was from Johnny Hecker on special teams. Like, they know how much of a contributor this kid can be as a veteran, as a defensive back, as a safety, the way that he's able to pack a punch and take out players like a Deebo Samuel, and just be a threat on the back end consistently, is the type of player that the Rams need. It was that, being able to be scared coming across the middle in the NFC Championship game was something that the Rams tried to prioritize time and time again in 2021, and they were finally able to do it in the NFC Championship game. So I would love Nick Scott back.
Nick Scott, another one, was previously in Horns, was somebody that – it's weird. Sosa made a really good point. Friend of the pod, Sosa, shout out. It's rare that you see one of these guys that the Rams really like go to another team, like excel there and like get another deal there. And then the Rams are like, oh, this guy's great. You weren't utilizing him up to his full potential, bringing him back. So, I mean, Nick Scott, I would love to see him come back. Former running back. I would love it. I feel like nobody has utilized the gadget of Nick Scott to
his full. Nick Scott's a former running back for Penn State.
Penn State running back, yeah.
Really? I always forget that. Well, because he's a great special teamer, seventh round pick.
Yeah.
I know.
Made a name for himself. I love Nick Scott.
I do too. When he joined the Bengals, he signed a 3-year, $12 million deal ahead of the 2023 season. He played in all 17 games for the Bengals in 2023, 10 starts, totaling 56 tackles and only one fumble recovery. So, I mean, didn't utilize him properly, didn't start all 17 games, which is a concern. I know Jesse Bates was there and a couple of other players, but, got to be able to properly utilize Nick Scott on the back end of your defense. And I think we all remember this incredible moment of Rams history. There's Deebo holding his towel, crying on the left-hand side of your screen, and there's Nick Snot knocking the living snot out of Deebo Samuel. Took him off the field, I think, for what, 3-4 possessions? Deebo, I think, got back in the game, but he ended up...
That was one, I think, where they called... I could be wrong, but there was a play in that game where they threw the flag, and then they reviewed it, and they're like, that's not a flag. That's how you're supposed to hit the guy. He just knocked his lights out.
Deebo is just unconscious. Like, you can see the picture. It looks like a boxing match. Somebody just took a right-handed haymaker, and that player is just knocked out. And that was Deebo Samuel. And, he hasn't had a ton of success in NFC Championship games, and that's, to the Rams' advantage and to the Eagles' advantage and whomever else it is that has gotten through the San Francisco 49ers in the past couple of years. But Nick Scott, I mean, you could bring him in for, so $12 million over 3 years. You could bring him in for Michael Hoyt money. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in that union. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 3 years for what? 9 million, 3 years for 12 million. Maybe you give him a 2 year deal worth $10 million with some incentives tied to it and a low salary cap hit for this year. A lot of flexibility that you can do to maneuver the cap. And then we also kind of talked about as of recent, some of the restructures that are in play. Obviously, Joe Noteboom is still very much on the table. Nothing happened before 4 o'clock today. Matthew Stafford, people have been talking about his contract. Aaron Donald as well. Nobody knows his contract situation in relation to, we don't want to talk about retiring, but maybe giving him more money, maybe restructuring his deal. And then also Ernest Jones is another contender who you could extend, not going to save a ton of money towards the salary cap for this year, but is definitely a contender with the Rams' current salary cap. But like, Nick, we talked about this, offense and the way that they're spending money. Look at the bottom of your screen, $182 million allocated to the offense. Number continues to go up, and the defense is only $57 million total. And the Rams are currently showing $12 million in available cap right now for 2024. And that's before Michael Hoyt's contract hit the books. It's before Darius Williams' $22.5 million deal and Colby Parkinson's $22.5 million deal hits the books. So it's going to be interesting to see how they divvy up salary cap and allocate dollars across years. Lots and lots of roster calculus happening right now. But as the season goes on, the players get released. And I think Jordan, I think it was Jordan on Twitter who was talking about how the Rams' first move of 2023 didn't happen until May 30th of 2023. And I believe it was DeMarcus Robinson signing a one-year deal. So, like, you know, stuff is still to happen. You know, they're going to have to go on a kicker at some point, a backup quarterback. Yeah, and to be able to kind of, to fill out the rest of the roster is going to be interesting. So they're on top of it, but it's going to take a couple of things, a couple of restructures slash extensions to be able to create some more salary cap room and then be able to sign a player like Hassan Reddick or, you know, whomever else it is you're looking to bring into the building.
Yeah, Jake Chicken Little Elliott just got big money as a kicker. So I imagine that market is going to keep climbing. Can you flash that graphic of less need on the screen one more time for me?
Sure.
This looks pre McVay. This looks Jeff Fisher. He looks a little crazier there. He also it looks like that picture may have been taken behind the hideous red seats at the St. Louis Arena. He just looks like a lunatic there. I just can't get over that.
That was the purpose of including him because he's always watching. He's always watching the salary cap. He's always doing some roster calculus. But I think that probably went back to the old St. Louis days in that picture when Les and Jeff Fisher were paired. Such an interesting time.
I watched an interview with Kevin Demoff recently where his daughter was like a part of the interview, but he was talking about Les's composure. And it was like during the Super Bowl in the box, there's like, he's there. And it was during the final drive with Stafford. And he was like, he had something that he, like a mantra that he kept saying. It wasn't fortune favors the brave, but it was like something similar to that, that he had to like continuously say like in a corner to like hype himself up and know that like they made the right move, go out and get him Stafford. I just imagine him like looking exactly like that, like in the corner, like freaking out. Fortune favors.
That's what they do. They like to, we've talked about, I remember in so many podcasts, we talked about the gamble and playing with house money and, you know, all those kind of theoretical situations and the trades that they've made and how they've all kind of paid off, but some of them haven't. And you've had to kind of pick up the pieces and pick up the slack with some really good free agent acquisitions in Jonah Jackson and Colby Parkinson and re-signing Darius Williams and Kevin Dotson. And then whatever the future holds at edge and how they're going to address the draft is going to be super interesting. But all the pro days, all the college pro days, it's funny. As soon as this NFL free agency period ends, the pro days begin. So people are, you know, starting to kind of go through the rescouting process all over again to try and find more players for the next month and a half in anticipation of the draft. So a lot of really good stuff coming your guys' way from Rams World. For whatever reason, my camera lost focus when I was laughing at you and Les Snead and your isms and going back to St. Louis. So
Les Snead, here we go. threw you for a loop there. I'm sorry about that. Didn't mean to get all comedic.
Laughing my ass off. Okay. If you guys are enjoying the podcast, make sure that you...
Ram it!
More coming your guys' way very, very soon. We love you. We appreciate you. And go Rams, as always.
Go Rams. I just want to ask, Dean, one quick question before we sign off here.
Yeah.
I think when you're playing with house money, it means, like, you had just won a Super Bowl. Like, now it's like, okay, what else can we do? I think the house money has since run out, and, like, we are now starting from, okay, we need to build back our wealth, right?
Oh, yeah, you're not playing with house. Yeah, that house money terminology is not being properly used if you're applying it to this year. Like, that's out of the window. Like, this is a... You're pulling money out of your own pocket. You're not playing with anybody's money.
Yeah. Hey, Dean, cool sweater. Where can I find that? No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks. You can find it on the Rams' team store, I believe. It might be part of the Legends collection. But Nick, also a really cool shirt. Where can I find it? I'm going to assume anywhere because it's an office t-shirt.
Hot topic.
Go Rams. We love you guys. Peace.